Thanks for downloading this episode of Cork Talk with me, Tim Atkin. A weekly conversation with some of the most famous people in the world of wine.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Nomacork by Vinventions. Driven by a commitment to innovation, the new plant-based Nomacork Green Line offers significant improvements in wine closure performance. Thanks to a rigorous oxygen ingress rate, you can decide which cork is best for your wine, whether it's for young and fresh wines or for those with aging potential.
My guest this week is the amazing Susanna Balbo, winemaker, entrepreneur and at one point, congresswoman for the province of Mendoza. After qualifying as Argentina's first female enologist in 1981, she started working in Cafayate in the north of the country before setting up her own business in 1999. Three times president of Wines of Argentina, one of the country's most internationally recognised winemakers. She talks to me about what makes a good businesswoman, why she loves Cabernet Sauvignon more than Malbec, and how she learnt about politics the hard way. Hello, Susanna. How are you?
Very well, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm extremely well in London, and you're in Mendoza, I'm sure.
Yes, a very sunny but very cold day.
It's cool. You're moving into winter now.
Yes, we are moving into winter, but it seems going to be pretty mild. It's cold and sunny, but the minor temperature is not below minus 2. Usually we have a minus 7, minus 8, so it seems we are going to have a mild winter.
Okay, great. Listen, I want to ask you about your amazing life and career in wine. So we may as well start at the beginning. You're from a family of grape growers. Can you tell us a little bit about the Balbos and your first memories of wine?
Okay, my parents are a daughter and son of an immigrant from Italy. My grandparents come from Italy directly after the First World War. And both of them, they like to drink wines, and their main business when they moved to Mendoza, because they grew up in Cordoba, in the center of the country, they started making tablecloths and sheets for beds with embroidery, very high-end. However, they bought later when my brother has around 16 years old and he decided not to go to the university. My parents decided to buy some vineyard in order to have a job for the future of my brother. My brother is 6 years older than me, so I was 10 in that moment. And I really liked it to go with my father to the vineyards. However, what happened with the ups and downs in the economy of Mendoza, my father didn't have the chance to really explore very well the vineyards in the 70s, in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, because the wine industry was in a few hands and he didn't have the research to develop that. However, in the 1981, when I got my degree at the University of Enology, was the biggest crisis of the wine industry in Argentina, because Greco company broke down. They have 70% of the shares of the market share in Argentina, and my father was suffering from this breakdown, among others that happened before, Filippini and others. So he decided to build his own winery, a small one, trying to get some value from his grapes. And he started at the moment when I moved to Salta, because I moved to Salta in 81 and he started his own business in 86. And wine in my life was every day, because our beverage at home was wine with water.
Typical immigrant, yeah?
Yes, typical immigrants. And my dad was in the opposite place in the table in my family lunch. And he was only looking at my glass, because I really liked to drink wine with water. And he was always complaining to me, less wine, Susanna, more water, less wine. Meanwhile, I was growing up, he allowed me to put a little more wine, less water. And in that way, I grew up drinking wine. So it's in our culture. It's typical
part of your
American
life.
Culture. Yes, yes.
Now, I read somewhere that you nearly studied nuclear physics, but in the end, you decided to study enology and you went to university in 1976. Were you the only woman in the class?
No, at that moment. When we started, we were 33 classmates, 17 were women. However, after the first year, only we stand three, and the only one that finished the career was me. Mainly were women living nearby the university because the university was settled down in a very small town called Rodeo del Medio. It's a town that has 2,000 or 3,000 citizens, but the university was settled over there in Don Bosco College. So women that were growing up around that and wanted to go to university, they were wondering about winemaking, but at the end they left after the first year because it was pretty tough in mathematics, chemistry, physics, everything was pretty tough. And most of the women don't like the hard side of the science.
Oh, don't say that. But I mean, you graduated cum laude, you know, with exceptional marks in 1981, and you went to Cafayate in the north of Argentina to work for Sucesión Michel Torino. And this was, I think, where you first became fascinated by the Torontés grape variety. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. That was a little forced, and then the variety showed me that I shouldn't regret to be forced to reinvent the category for this grape, because the owner of the winery gave me the challenge to make international style wines, and 70% of the vineyard were Torrontés. So I didn't have many options.
Much choice.
Yes, I didn't have much choice in my plate. However, it was fine because the first time when I was trying to achieve the juice, very fresh, to make very international and high-end wines, I realized the grape was pretty difficult to work with. And one of the ideas that appeared in my mind was to work with enzymes. But enzymes doesn't exist in that moment for wines. It was only for apple juice and was produced in Canada. And the owner of the winery really paid attention to me. That, for me, was something amazing because he respected me despite my young age and my non-experience in winery. He respected my idea to use enzymes from apples in the grapes and was very successful trial, very successful. Nowadays, we have thousands of different enzymes tailored for everything, but in that moment, wasn't for wines and was very successful. And I changed the style of the Torrontés, and I didn't realize I was making such a huge change in one variety that was going to drive my future life because Torrontés put me in the wine world.
On the map, yeah.
On the map, yes.
Yeah, and then in 1989 you left. You came back from Cafayate, and you started to work as a consultant. You've worked for consultants for various people, including in Europe and other parts of Argentina. What have you learned from working with other people in other countries and other wine regions and other wineries?
The main lesson for me was in the world was happening many things that were not happening in Argentina. We were much behind all the other wine countries, mainly from the United States, from France. They had technology we didn't have. They have a fitting material to work with in the winery to keep the quality you achieve during the fermentation. We didn't have as well. They were working, in those years, in the early 90s, a novel in the UC Davis defined the flavor road. Remember, we didn't know that. We didn't have all the knowledge and the science that was developed in the world, because Argentina was closed countries until that moment. And if we wanted to import a technology, we have 34% import tax. So the technology was almost unaffordable for the wineries. So what I learned was the importance of the technology to achieve the best quality in the juice. But the quality, I learned as well, the quality was about managing very well the canopy and the trellising system in the vineyards. And it started happening in Argentina. And you know, Tim, because you came to Argentina very early. You were one of the ones coming here very early. Remember, we were managing the vineyards in the flood irrigation, very high yield in the vineyards, without many balance, without a good balance in the vineyards. And we started in the early 90s. Trying to achieve a more balance in the vineyard, less yield in the grapes, more technology in the winery, and we drive a huge change that became in the late 90s in 3 billion investments in the wine industry from foreign people, even from Argentinian people, making the huge change that Argentina wine industry suffers in the 90s. Putting Argentina as a good competitors for other countries in the world. And I had the honor to say I was one of the winemakers working those years. And we were a few doing so many change and opening our minds to other countries and other winemakers' opinion, like Michel Roland, Paul Hobbs, Attilio Pagli, Alberto Antonini. They came to Argentina in 94, 95, 96. Michel was the first one in 86. I met him in Cafayate for first time, in Cafayate in 87. However, the change happens in the 90s, all over the 90s, with investments, new technologies, opening our mind that in the world was a revolution and we must be part of this revolution. And we did it. We did it later than other countries, but we did it.
Mm. I mean, you worked for a little while for Nicolás Catena from 1998 to 2002. Yes. But during that time, you'd actually set up your own winery, which you're now obviously still running. Originally, it was called Dominio del Plata. Now it's Susana Balbo Wines. You described it as your third child. Well, what was your vision for the winery when you started? What did you think I want to do with this winery?
Well, I wanted to have the freedom, because when you work as a consultant, you are a consultant, so the final decision is over other hands, or the winemaker you are consulting for, or the owner of the winery, because they have their own opinion about what they want in their bottles. And I have very strong conviction about the new style of wine, about the use of the technologies, and not many producers were willing to listen to you. That is important. Investments is important, because the old-fashioned wine companies in Argentina, they didn't like to invest that much in technology or to invest that much in new ideas about the new varieties in the vineyards or to change the trellising system. So it was very hard. So my idea in my own winery was to have the freedom to do what I wanted to do and to show that the quality is the main driver in a winery. And that conviction became to my mind after working for Nicolás Catena, because he has this conviction.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you're a very skillful businesswoman. You've been recognized. You've won lots of awards. What do you think makes a successful entrepreneur? Is it that conviction?
Yes, for no doubt about that, conviction and resilience, because for every time I was successful, I failed at least 10 times. So, failure shouldn't be in your mind. A failure should be a learning process, should be a new point of a start, should be something you needed to know, but it's not necessary a failure. Because if you feel like that, you surround immediately. You don't keep trying. So it's very important to be an entrepreneur, to have a strong conviction, to have resilience, power, and to follow your dreams and to keep doing what you consider is right. Because you can fail in the way you can achieve the goal you are looking for, but never you should lose your goal. You should leave the goal in your mind. There is many ways to arrive to the same point. So you can fail in the first, second, third, fourth, maybe 10 ways, but finally you can find in the 11th the proper way, but to achieve what you want to achieve. If you are changing your goal all the time, you never are going to arrive to any point. You are never going to achieve nothing.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you're also something of a politician in lots of ways. I mean, you were president, I think this is a record, of Wines of Argentina three times, 2006 to 2008, 2008 to 10, and then 14 to 16. What are the challenges of promoting an entire country, of running a generic body?
Well, the main challenge, because the first time I was elected, I didn't have the agreement for the biggest winery, the biggest players. So I've been elected for the small players, and after a campaign, that was my first campaign. My second campaign was running as a congresswoman. It was a campaign through a small growers, a small winery, telling them we needed to make a change in Wines of Argentina, because Wines of Argentina until that moment was lack of ideas, lack of energy. So in the first time, it was something that even some big player told me, we didn't want you in this position, but you are the president, show us what you can do. And during this period, the first one, I gained their respect, because it's important to have the respect and to have everybody on board. So I convinced them we needed to change the way we were managing Wines of Argentina. First of all, to move Wines of Argentina to Mendoza. If you talk to Mario, Mario is going to tell you I forced him to move to Mendoza.
This today, is Mario Giordano, yeah?
Giordano, yes, from Wines of Argentina. Yeah. Today he's very grateful to me, because he said I changed his life for better. But in the first moment, he was very angry with me, very, very angry, because what I did, I when he was in Japan for a fair, I went to Buenos Aires, I kidnapped his computer, all the information from Wines of Argentina, and moved everything to Mendoza. And when he came back, he said, what is my everything, my stuff to work with? And I told him, it's in Mendoza. And he said, you are firing me? No. I'm telling you, you must move. You must move to Mendoza. So he did, and Wines of Argentina changed a lot for better. And then my colleagues appointed me with 100% of the vote for two times more. And the other two times, I was vice president of Alberto Arizu.
Wow. So it's very important. Unanimous, 100% of the votes.
100% of the vote.
Amazing.
Yeah, but I needed to show them that my ideas was to manage Wines of Argentina as a company. So the general body should be with the energy that has a company, should follow convictions and should follow dreams to settle Argentina as a category, because we didn't exist in that moment as a category. We were in the bottom of the shelf as other countries. So our goal was to put Argentina in the shelf, to put Argentina as Argentina, not other countries. And we did it. So doing more activities until 2004, Arc Wines of Argentina was doing only 7 activities worldwide per year. I left after the second period, I left Wines of Argentina with 250 activities per year. And you are a witness of that team because sure. We did the Malbec World Day, we did so many things in your country mainly, no? Activities to increase awareness of consumers and journalists and everybody. We did something that was very successful to bring buyers to Argentina. We never did before. So we were going with our bottle to the fair, to the tasting, showing, but the bottle, one bottle, cannot tell what Argentina means with the landscape, with the purity of the soil, the purity of the air, the water, the potential we have to produce very high-end wines. So bringing the buyers into Argentina was one of the most successful ideas we had as a Wines of Argentina. And that was the beginning of the success of Argentina.
Yeah. I mean, you subsequently had an even more high-profile political career. You were a congresswoman, the congresswoman, for the province of Mendoza in 2017 and 2018, and you ran the W20, which was an extension of the G20. How different are these two worlds, the worlds of wine and politics? Are they completely different?
Yes, absolutely. It's black and white. I was naive enough to think maybe if I get involved, I can make change as I was able to do in Wines of Argentina. But I didn't count that in politics, there is opposite interest in between people. In Wines of Argentina, all of us has the same purpose. The purpose was to raise Argentina as a wine country, to raise the quality, to raise. Everybody was meritocratic in the way of thinking. In politics, you cannot find 100% of meritocratic way of thinking. Yeah, there is many personal interest, dark interest as well. People that don't want people overcoming poverty or overcoming to populism because they are going to lose their vote. When people has the freedom, the economical freedom, they don't need to vote for a person that is promising them to give food or to give services. They have the freedom to choose what they can eat and they to choose what they want to do with their life. So unfortunately, in politics, mainly in my country, it's very dark, very, very dark.
Mm. I mean, I want to ask you about your country. It's a country I love, as you know. But outsiders, me included, often look at Argentina with all its natural advantages and wonder, you know, why is the economy such a disaster? You know, is there a solution, do you think, to the problems?
Of course, there is a solution. The solution is to leave companies work with freedom, to leave the market to show what is the way, because when you want to settle a company in Argentina, you have a lot of inconvenience. Argentina is number 140 about the freedom to settle a company or the paperwork you need to do. Mm-hmm. Mauricio Macri tried to fix that, but last week we make a huge pass behind because the new government put on hold all the advantage to make a company in a few stage because they want to control everything. And when the state want to be a partnership in your business or to control your business all the time or the prices through retentions and everything, it's very hard to have people working in the formal market. That is only tempting people that to work in the informal market, in the black market. So yeah. 40% of Argentina economy is in the black market. So it's not enough people paying taxes. My company, we are 100% exporter. So we have everything in the formal market and we fulfill all the requirements for international markets regarding compliance, regarding security, food security, everything. But it's a few companies working in that way. All other companies, or many companies, are working in the informal market because taxation is so high in Argentina and is so prohibitive. They need to survive. So at the end, they rather prefer to take the risk not paying taxes and having people working in black, so those people don't have access to the social security or don't have access to a good education. So the problem is politics in Argentina. It's a political problem. It's not economic.
No, I think you're right. We've talked a lot about politics. Let's talk a bit more about wine. Is Malbec your favorite grape?
No. Is Cabernet.
Tell us why.
Well, it's Cabernet because for me, Cabernet is challenging. When you are making a good Malbec, against whom people can have a comparison pattern, it's very difficult because Argentina is a massive producer of Malbec. So when they want to compare, they compare to against Malbec from France, it's different variety. So it's not a great comparison. If they want to compare against the Chilean Malbec, they have different variety as well. They have a few areas of similar variety than Argentina one. So in Cabernet Sauvignon, doesn't happen that. When you are producing Cabernet Sauvignon, you have so many countries doing great Cabernet Sauvignon, you must prove you are a good winemaker making good Cabernet Sauvignon. After that, you are allowed to produce everything because the most challenging variety is Cabernet because there is big players in the world making great Cabernet Sauvignon. That is why.
Yes, good point.
about tasting, I love all the varieties. So I love because all variety has something beautiful to show you.
I mean, tell us a little bit about your famous white blend. I know a little bit about this, but tell us the story how you came up with this very innovative white blend for Argentina.
Yeah, you are the responsible one. You know that because
it's my fault.
You were tasting whites, single variety whites in Argentina, and you were tasting beautiful Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon, my Torrontés barrel fermented, and you challenged me to do a blend because you asked me why Argentina wasn't producing blends in whites. And I answered you, I don't know.
I think you answered me very successfully. It's done very well.
Well, but the first trial we did together, remember?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, just blending for fun.
We did playing a little fun, yes. And you know, you were right because Argentina has such a great potential with the whites as well. But I think maybe not many wineries are taking the challenge because it's very demanding in technology. It's very demanding in technology, and technology is very expensive. However, we have a great potential as a country producing good whites and good rosé as well.
More and more, I think.
Tell
me a little bit. I mean, Eddie Del Popolo, who's a very successful viticulturist and now winemaker in his own right. He helps you in the vineyards and in the winery. What does Eddie bring to the business?
Well, Eddie brought to my company many things, many wonderful things. First of all, I can tell you I was chasing Eddie to become my general manager for more than 3 or 4 years. And one day I called him by phone. I told him, I just came in from a meeting from Wines of Argentina and I was looking all the faces surrounding me trying to find a general manager to steal from some winery. And I couldn't find any single that deserved for to be with me working, not deserving for myself, but that deserves to be in my winery because we are team builders. We are a family. So you need people that join the same kind of value to have a good team, to have a great team. And he says, well, I'm coming back to Mendoza. If you want, I stop by your winery and we can chat about that. And maybe I can help you to find out somebody. And he was almost 2 hours working with me, talking, what about this person? No, because this, that, you are right about that person. So at the end of the conversation, he told me, okay, you approached me a few years ago telling me if I wanted to come to join it with you. Maybe I'm open to think about that because you are right. You need people with the similar values and we join the same values. So let me think about, if you are interested, of course, let me think about that. And I told him, you are more than welcome. Why we needed two hours to arrive to this? Just tell me this since the very beginning. So, at the end, he brought many things. His value, yeah. First of all, yeah. That is the most valuable thing in a person. And his knowledge, his full of skills in canopy management, not canopy management, vineyard management, knowledge about a passion of wine, knowledge about soil composition. He's very passionate about that. And his team builder person. His values are always in the beginning, in the first front. Yeah, so he was working with my two kids. I led in his hands to train my two kids because my two kids was joined my company 2 years before him. And for me as a mom, it was very hard to work with them because it's hard to switch hat between mom hat, boss hat. So yeah. It was very hard. And he brought quality, he brought values, he brought team builders, people, many things. He brought himself, that the most valuable person I met.
I mean, I think it's fantastic that your kids, Anna and Jose, are now involved in the winery as well. I mean, they clearly love it, either for all the difficulties you said of working with families, right?
Yes.
So, well, I mean, you're still very active in the wine industry and active within the winery. Are there things that you still want to achieve?
Peace of mind, thinking my country has a good future. This is what is most hesitating me, the future of my country. In the wine industry, yes, of course, always you are looking for the 100 points wines, the perfect wine, but never is perfect for you, you know. Always you feel, maybe I could achieve something better in next harvest. So always you are wanting to achieve something else. Now I'm developing something for the wine industry, but in the side of tourism, a small, very high-end boutique hotel to link with the winery and the wine experience. So to make the winery, not only the wine experience, to make the winery a life experience. So, yes, I don't want to stop working.
Just as well. I think we're all very happy. And what about politics? Politics finished?
Yes, it's finished for my life. I'm more useful for my country, making jobs for people, a decent job, well paid, in the formal economy, helping my country in that side. It's more useful rather than to be fighting with dark people.
So. Exactly. And I think we're happy to have you in the wine industry. Susanna,
thank you very much.
Very much for your time. It's been fascinating talking to you as ever, one of the true legends of the Argentinian wine industry. Thank you. Bye.
Fascinating to talk to Susanna as ever. Next week on Cork Talk, my guest is Gaia Gaia from Barbaresco in the northwest of Italy. See you then. Thanks for listening to Cork Talk. If you want to read more reports, articles and tasting notes by me, go to my website, timatkin.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @timatkin, and on Instagram, @timatkinmw. See you next week.